The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride.
Monarch Nation, welcome back to the Monarchist Basketball Show. As always, my partner in crime, Mike, and Coach Mike Jones. Welcome to the show, Mike. And Mike.
Great to have you, Aaron. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Hey, it's been a while. I think the last time we talked, it was before the road game at Miami of Ohio. A lot of stuff has happened since then. How would you describe the team's growth from the start of the season until right now?
Definitely work in progress. We have had some flashes of what we could be. We've had some bad times where we know we've got to get better, but definitely moving forward. Yeah, we today, after seven games, are better than we were when we got to Miami of Ohio. And again, just everything we're doing, the schedule we have, the progress we're making is all like we're getting ready and gearing up for one hell of a Sun Belt season. I wouldn't say on schedule or anything like that, but we are definitely moving in the right direction.
All right. So, Coach, obviously you talked about this being a work in progress. Let's talk about a couple areas of concern that from some fans.
Yep.
Get this out of the way early. So when we see this team working offensively, they were moving the ball well, making the extra pass. We have at times seen this team press. And it seems to, when things get tough, they kind of revert back to a lot of one-on-one basketball. How is that? I guess, what would be the cause of that, you think? And what's the fix moving forward?
Yeah, I think you have to remember that bringing a new group of young men together, especially ones with the resume and the careers that these guys have had, Casey Shaw was the go-to guy and the fixer at Maryland Eastern Shore and at Winston-Salem, his last two stops. LJ Thomas was the fixer and the leading scorer at Austin Peay. Jordan Battle was one of the fixers and the leading scorer at Coastal. Rob was one of our fixers last year and one of our leading scorers. And when you put a group like that together, when things go wrong, they're used to being the ones to fix it. So when we do get in a rut or we do get in a hole, all four of these guys are used to being the guy that their numbers called to get their team out of it. So, you know, you would hope as we progress through this that we learn and we're able to trust one another. Talking to them, they feel it too. Like, they understand kind of what I'm explaining right now. And it's just something that we have to continue to work on and continue to get comfortable with one another and continue to truly trust one another. And I think that's the biggest thing right now, for me to trust them to trust me, but most importantly, for them to trust one another.
All right. And then the second biggest concern, I would say, is defensively.
Yeah.
We see it a lot in man where someone just gets blown by, like easy pass to the bucket. What do you think is the biggest cause of this and how do we fix it moving forward?
Well, I think we've gotten better. Miami of Ohio, you know, even the Norfolk State game where our defense was pretty good. Like, you know, what we've been able to do is in terms of preparing, and this is what the other team runs and this is what they're looking to do. And literally it's just coming down to one-on-one and for us to truly embrace, I have to stop my man. It's some of it's a technique thing. You know, if somebody's driving at me and I just open my hips and try to like push them on one side versus really just saying, no, I'm not going to let you get by me. And it's, you know, drills we've been doing every day and there has been improvement. Obviously, you know, our game against GW and our game at Xavier, both of those were, it's just glaring how much we need to improve at those. And then since then, you know, there's been incremental improvements, but still nowhere near where we need to be. And it's something we need to continue to work on. You know, we played at Drexel yesterday, and it was much better. You know, we probably got beat, burned late in the game by them making a couple of timely threes. But it wasn't them getting to the rim, which, again, shows the improvement because they're a team that does a really good job at attacking the basket.
Yeah, you hit that nail right on the head. I think five of us got to watch that game because it was on Flow Sports. But, 100%, Coach. Going back to what Mike was talking about, when the ball is moving, and it's really beautiful, but then sometimes it really bogs down. Something that a lot of fans have discussed is, we can go on these runs where we're super competitive and things just look beautiful, but then it may come out in the second half and it's like a switch kind of turned off, just kind of inconsistent from large chunks of time. Now, that being said, I mean, you played against a 5-0 Miami of Ohio team, a 6-1 George Washington team, who's much better than I think most people realize. So you played some really good teams. But how do we move from being such an inconsistent team on kind of both ends of the spectrum to something that's more even-keeled?
Yeah, 100%. Everything you just said is extremely accurate. I think the biggest thing for us is the time that it takes to just get on the same page and truly flow for 40 minutes. We've all seen it. Like the first half at Miami, the first 15 minutes at Miami, it was just like, this is what we've been doing. This ball has been moving, popping. He's open. He's going to shoot. I'm going to drive and then kick it out. I'm going to drive and then dump it off. And Kyle's going to set this screen and we're going to really read, are they tagging? Are they not tagging? There's just so many aspects that at times we're really good at. And then there's the times when, I haven't shot the ball in 4 minutes. So like next time I get it, I got to get one off. And again, no one on our team is selfish, but there are guys on our team that are used to doing things a certain way. And we had Costa Rica 3 games. We've had the preseason, we've had the fall, we've had, the first 7 games. There's still no, it takes time. And I get incredibly frustrated too, because I know what it's supposed to look like and I've seen it. So it is frustrating and I get that, but it takes time. And again, we're working towards it. It's just going to take, some time.
All right. So let's talk about something positive.
None of that was negative. A progress is positive.
Well, I just want to talk about this. The Norfolk State game, that was the best environment we've had in a while at Chartway. Fantastic game by both teams, but that environment, getting the team getting to play in front of that. What were the reaction from the new guys? Like, I imagine some of them have never played in a game like that with the fan base like that.
Yeah, they were all like, again, that's what, we hope to one day soon be able to do that. And obviously they know that our performance on the court impacts that a lot, but that is something that can be very addictive in terms of like, I want to play in that environment. And to a player, like just the excitement of that and in the locker room. And even the next day, as we were preparing to flip the page and get ready for GW, like it was intoxicating. That was a great environment. And we want that. We want to have home games on our schedule each and every year that will bring that type of environment. Next year, Richmond coming down, I hope produces something very similar to that as we try to get more and more of our schedule done for the coming years. Like, we want more nights like that was. That was amazing.
All right, so 3-0 at home, 0-4 on the road. Across those 4 road losses, is there something that shows up on film or something that you've seen during the games that kind of you're emphasizing as an area of focus for the team that you've been able to pick through?
Yeah, for sure. Like when things go bad, like we got to stop the bleeding better. And again, that comes to who steps up when things start to go a little left, who's going to stop the run. And for us to understand, it's not just offensively stopping a run. It's, you can stop a run defensively as well. If you can get a couple stops in a row and, maybe the offense isn't going, or maybe just a shot didn't fall, or maybe I got fouled and you know, maybe we didn't make our free throws, but we can still go down and get a stop. And I think just us continuing to emphasize every single possession matters. The momentum in college basketball is an amazing thing. You score a couple baskets in a row and get a couple stops, you're on top of the world. You don't score a couple baskets in a row or on a couple of possessions in a row and the other team does, it's not the end of the world. Like, but the as soon as you can, you stop that run. You get something going in your favor. And for us to just embrace that together and collectively, the word we've been using lately and for the last couple of weeks has been just, we need to be much more connected. We need to be able to trust what one another's doing, when they're going to do it, how they're going to do it, and then how I'm to play off of it. And again, it's just things that we're working on trying to get better at.
All right. So we have a lot of new guys on this team, but there's a couple guys that have surprised me with how they've been able to impact the game early on. One of them is a true freshman, Zach Wiggins. If you told me he was a fifth-year senior, I'd believe you, because he makes some veteran plays out there, and the team usually looks great. But I don't know. He's been awesome. Talk to us about Zach a little bit.
Yeah, he's everything we thought he would be. I mean, you can even count him in those. I mean, he's AAU and high school. He's used to being the man, and when things go wrong, he's the one that fixes it. So you can add him to that list we were talking about earlier. But I won't say I'm surprised by anything he's doing. This is who we recruited him to be. You know, he is someone who is a very cerebral player. He's still adjusting as a freshman to the physicality of college basketball. But if you just talk about talent and just the mind to be able to play, he has it. And as he gets stronger and, again, just embraces the physicality, like, I mean, he's as good as it gets. And we're lucky to have him. He represents what we want to recruit.
I can endorse that for sure. All right. On the defensive side, where have you seen the most progress and what still needs to be sharpened?
Again, it's that one-on-one technique of, if you have the ball and I'm in front of you and you try to drive my left shoulder for me to step out to stop you instead of turning my hips to stop you. And that's a huge thing. I think some of our guys, again, I don't want to make it seem like it's this simple, but sometimes it is this simple. Again, you're used to being the man. You're used to, like, your team needs you on the floor. You don't want to foul because I come out of the game. So when you drive at me, I'm not trying to foul. I'm going to do my job, but I'm trying not to foul. And in college basketball, guys are just too fast, too strong, and too explosive and athletic to do that. And again, we have to get our guys just, I can trust this. First of all, they're doing the same thing to us on the other end. So the referees are going to allow me to step to the side and chest this a little bit more than just opening up my hips, one. And then two, let's say I do get in foul trouble. Hey, there's somebody over there that can give us good minutes while I have to sit. And that's a selfish thing, but not in the true sense of the word selfish. I don't want to come out of the game. I don't want to foul. I don't want to be in foul trouble. I want to play, but so that we can win. And just getting guys to truly understand, again, the physicality that, you know, our league allows us to play with, one, but with the schedule we're playing, the Big Ten, the Big East, the A-10, like, those teams are the same way.
All right, so educate myself and the fans a little more. You're talking technique there of stepping out as opposed to just turning your body. Is that something that's maybe not taught as much at the high school and the AAU level, and you're having to try to develop that?
So I won't say that, but I will say there's so many different techniques. You know, you have some team that run a pack line defense. You have some teams that run a no middle defense. You have some teams that are so used to switching everything that becomes a non-issue. But when teams just spread you out and be like, hey, you got to guard me one-on-one, but you're so used to switching, the technique of it does become enhanced. Like, it becomes that much more important. So again, these are things that we're working on every single day. These are things that we are getting better at. And again, for those that watched the game yesterday, you would have seen much better effort there and just a focus on it. Like it can be frustrating that you're trying to do it one way and you get beaten. It's just like, oh, like our guys are truly embracing what it is we're asking them to do. And we're still going to have our growing pains, but there is progress being made.
All right. I want to go back to the Xavier game on offense. Their wing length, they were doing a great job of making themselves longer and denying easy dump passes into the paint. It seemed like maybe the best way to attack that would have been, I mean, obviously just going at the bucket as the guards, but their length was really impressive to me. Like, I haven't seen a defense look that long in a while. Talk to us about how you think we should have attacked that, or if we'll see a team that long the rest of the season.
Well, look at who they start. They don't have a 7-footer, but they've got, like, at any point in time, they could literally have four guys on the court that are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". And, again, that's not a complaint or anything like that. It's just, yeah, there are going to be – sometimes there are going to be teams that are going to match you up. We didn't answer the bell in terms of keeping them from getting to the rim. So forget scoring for us. If we play better defense and we're more connected on the defensive end, that's a totally different game. The problem was when it went bad, we didn't respond. And that's the part that, like, I take credit for everything that goes wrong. But, I mean, that's one of the things that I definitely, like, we have to be better at that, because there are going to be plenty of times in our season that things just, they're not going right. And for us to be able to fix it in the moment is going to be incredibly important. And we just did not do a very good job of that at Xavier.
So I'll ask a follow-up to that. When things are going bad, do you want them to figure it out easily, like on their own? Or is that a situation where you maybe call a timeout? Like,
so it's the way I've always coached, I would prefer. And again, the mindset that we have, we got older players, and older players that truly can, like, we have to be able to massage this so that when we're at the 8-minute mark in a tough Sunbelt game that is going to determine our playoff or tournament seeding, and we're going to need those timeouts at the end of the game, like, for us to be able to do a little bit more things on the fly. Like, that is the mentality that we are coaching with right now, that I am coaching with right now. And I think that's incredibly important for people to understand. Yes, I want to beat Xavier. Yes, I want to beat GW. But there's a much bigger picture that everything that we do is intentional, and we're trying to prepare for what we're going to need to be able to do. Having a new point guard this year, you know, having LJ, and LJ and I communicate a lot, and I'm on him. And for him to truly embrace he and I being on the same accord, he and I being on the same page, is something that he has truly embraced. That is going to pay dividends for us down the road. I have no doubt about that. That is going to pay huge dividends for us down the road.
Coach, I know that you and your staff pay a lot of attention to particular metrics or statistical areas. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you reference, you don't really say what they are, but you reference them. But mm-hmm. I noticed the other night in the game, kind of at the home game, at a critical point, you looked over to the bench, or you yelled over to Aiden and had the computer on his lap. So during the game, are you kind of, is he watching any particular metrics
Aiden is our, first of all, he's our analytics guru. So not during the games, but non-game days one, and then before and after games, like, I communicate with him a lot because he gives me the data that I want to know.
Okay.
But during the game, his laptop, like, he's the challenge.
Which, okay.
You know, was the ball really out on us and things like that. So, and again, just the whole coach's challenge thing. So this is going to be a longer answer. So the whole coach's challenge thing is new. And we've spent all preseason trying to figure out what is our philosophy when it comes to that. The referees want you to challenge their plays, like, because they want to get used to it as well. But I think what we've kind of settled on, that if it's not crunch time, the only way we challenge a play is if it's going to take points off the board or put points on the board, which is so rare. So literally take points off the board. So if there's a goaltend or something like that, or if it's an out of bounds, or actually out of bounds won't, or if it's a charge, no charge. If it's going to take points off the board, if it's a challenge of was his foot on the line on a three or a two, before crunch time, I don't think you'll see us challenge unless we are absolutely 100% sure that the play will get reversed into our favor. And then in crunch time, it gets a little squirrely because most people don't know, like, there's like, you have to challenge like within a certain window. So let's just say there was a media timeout and the play right before the media is in question. I would need to challenge it before both teams get to their bench and the referee goes to the table and points and be like, all right, start the clock for the media. Once that happens, I am no longer able to challenge the play.
And that's not much time at all.
Right. So that could be 10 seconds. Most refs will understand that this could be a challengeable play, so they might slow walk it a little bit to give you a chance, but they don't have to do that. So there is a logic behind that. So that's the first half. The second half, so Aiden is not the one with the analytics and the data and things like that. We do have our two GAs and one of our managers that keeps deflections, that keeps, and I apologize if this is all over the place. So
this is perfect.
We measure one side possessions, two side possessions, multiple side possessions. And then within that, we measure first 10 seconds of the shot clock, middle 10 seconds of the shot clock, last 10 seconds of the shot clock. So if you're ever at a home game, you'll see Zach Hendricks, one of our GAs, holding up a board that's like looks like a big tic-tac-toe thing. And it's got first 10, middle 10, last 10, and then one side, two side, multi-side, and then numbers across. And then at the bottom, deflections on one side. And then on the other side is punctures. So how many times did we get the ball into the paint? So all of these things, as I'm sitting there, so I'm sitting in my chair facing our team in front of me, and then standing right behind them, Zach is holding up that board so that, hey, we need to, like, we're really good tonight. We've had 11 possessions where we've changed sides of the floor and we've scored on 8 of them. So, like, tonight is one of those nights, other than transition, where we really need to get the ball from one side to the other. Hey, we're not doing a very good job when this team gets us into the last 10 seconds of the shot clock. We need to push the ball as quickly as we can and get in our stuff that's not in transition to try to score quicker, because once they kind of get settled into their defense, they're really hard to score against, like things like that. And then deflections to me represent your effort and your focus and your energy. And then punctures, we shoot a much better percentage from three when the ball touches the paint first than we do when it doesn't touch the paint, unless, again, it's in transition. And you'll see us on the sideline a lot of times talking about that. That's some of it. You know, our goal every game, like 10 and a half turnovers, like it's not rocket science. Like if we have 10 or less.
Hey, Mike, you there? You freeze up for you, Aaron?
Yeah, he froze up. Probably about 25, 30.
Yeah. Pepper wanted to be on the show tonight. So this is Pepper. She can't hear you, but that's Pepper.
Why can't she hear me? Oh, your headphones. That's right. That's right.
But she's fitting right in with the other girls, so
she's a cutie.
Looks like a stuffed animal. be a weird way to end the show.
It would be.
Maybe like, and hey guys, we lost Coach. Yeah. Some internet issues.
We might have to
root them on this weekend against William Mary. We hope to see you there. Get to Richmond if you can. Get to Mason if you can.
Yep.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll be back soon.
You want him to jump on his phone? We can at least close it out.
Yeah.
So he'll come back into vertical. Oh, I think we lost him.
I think so.
Hold on, let's gotta try to get him back. We gotta close this thing out.
Yeah, we gotta close it out. Hopefully we can talk to him and do that. There he is.
I don't know. Has this worked?
Yeah. It's perfect.
Welcome back, Coach. Perfect.
I don't know what the heck that was.
Oh, that was the internet gods.
We can go to the next question. I think you kind of walked us through a lot of the decision-making that goes on with challenges and how difficult it can be with the short time to make those decisions. But the next few games, you got Villanova, William Mary, you got Richmond coming up. What would be your challenge to this team to what you want to see out of their growth over the next few weeks? He froze.
I think the internet's not going to work out tonight, the rest of the night, Mike.
If this is how it is, we just got to tell all you fans, if you have an opportunity to watch this team play Villanova tomorrow, tune in. If you have a chance to get on the road and cheer this team on at William Mary, Richmond, George Mason, please take that opportunity. We've asked for these in-state opponents. This team needs you to get behind their back and root them on, because the more Monarchs we have in the crowd, the better chance we have at making them feel at home while they're on the road in these in-state tough environments.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we have high expectations, just like the rest of the fan base.
Coach Jones.
We got your back, Coach. I think the hotel internet is not wanting to play nicely tonight. Oh, he's FaceTiming us.
Can you put that up to the mic?
I don't know that it's going to work.
All right.
Join FaceTime. Join. Hey, Coach, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Can you hear this through the microphone, Mike? Okay. Come through the microphone. Oh, you get two. Oh. Okay, I saw it now. Yeah. All
right, Coach. Tell them what you want to see of this team these next few weeks.
Say that again.
Tell fans what you want to see out of this team over the next few weeks.
Yeah, so definitely want to see that guys are improving, especially on the defensive end. And obviously when things get a little stagnant on offense, for us to be able to fight through and work through that. But again, I think just the term connected is going to be the improvement that needs to be made on both ends of the floor. If we can just continue to progress towards being unified when times get tough, and then staying unified until we get things right. We're a talented team. We're a talented bunch. We're a group that wants to win. I am not discouraged. I used the word embarrassed because of two of the results, but I'm not discouraged at all, because I do know what this team is capable of, and everything that we set out to do this year is still in front of us, and that's having one heck of a Sun Belt season.
Well, y'all heard the man. Despite internet connections, Elon Musk and Starlink, hotel internet, whatever it is, we finish the show just like this team is going to finish this road trip before they come home. So tune in on TV, watch this team, and then when they get back to Virginia, we expect to see you at George Mason, at Richmond, and at William & Mary. Mike, you got any closing comments?
Which Mike?
Either Mike.
Again, I as always, like, you know, I know how passionate our fan base is, and I know that you guys are, you're rooting for us. Again, just, you know, as frustrated as you are, trust me, I don't think it even measures half of what I'm feeling. And again, because I get to see these guys every day, and I know how capable we are, and we're going to keep plugging away. And just ask for you guys, just continued support. Stick with us. I'm telling you, at the end of the day, this team is going to be right there in the mix in our conference with the chance to play in postseason play. Just stick with us. We've got to stick together, and we're just asking you guys to stick with us. You're the best fans anywhere, and we're going to make you proud when it's all said and done. Go Monarchs.
Hey, go Monarchs, Coach. Thanks again for joining us. Root on this team. Get to Mason. Get to Richmond if you can. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.